Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson. I'm a sitting alongside, across from the Casey Clapp.
That's me, Casey Clapp. Everyone, welcome. Start your engines. We're about to take a trip down the California highway.
Wow, maybe we'll drive our car through a tree, huh,
Ooh,
Case?
Ooh, that's destructive, Alex.
Well, it's not what you think.
Uh-huh. All right.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm happy to hear that I'm also okay.
Great. Should we reveal? Pull back the curtain a little bit?
Yeah, we should. Take the veil away.
This is our second record of the day. Our first record is last week's episode.
Yep.
The giant sequoia.
Sequoia dendron giganteum.
That's right. Now, this is a two-parter.
That's right, which I'm so excited about. This is our first two-parter.
Yes, our first two-parter of the unseason, where we can do whatever the hell we want.
This is freedom.
So the two-parter being the giant sequoia and this week's tree, sort of a two-parter of huge trees. That's the theme.
Yes, and more specifically, the rest of it is... I wanted to make sure to try to split these two trees apart. I wanted, if we did them right next to each other, then we can compare and contrast right in front of each other.
Yeah.
And not have anyone be like, oh, yeah, they did a thing on the redwoods. I'm like, no, we did it on the giant sequoia.
Right.
This one, we're just going to do both right off the bat. So that way everyone is just going to be like, okay, yeah, they did those trees, and then they'll just have to listen to the episodes to figure out, is it that tree or those trees?
I don't know what any of that meant.
I'm very confused right now.
But I will say that, yeah, this is part two.
Yes.
And this week we're discussing another very special big tree. This is, Casey, an icon in the tree world.
Yes, it is.
The Coast Redwood.
That's the one. Sequoia sempervirens.
Sempervirens.
Yes, did you hear the difference there?
Yes. What does sempervirens mean?
It means evergreen.
Okay.
Yeah, it actually comes from the same root as, so virens, green, semper, ever.
Ever, yeah.
That's a semper fi. I believe that's the marines-like thing. Semper fi. Mm-hmm. It means the same thing. I think in the marines, it means something like always a marine or something like that, or always like, you know, trustworthy. I don't know what it is.
But trustworthy.
I don't know. I don't remember. But it is, it means essentially forever, always.
Right.
So sempervirens just means evergreen. So if you ever see anything else that is the blank, blank, blank sempervirens, it means that it is the evergreen of those things or that thing.
Got it.
Yes.
Wi-Fi, of course, wireless forever.
Yeah, exactly what that means. You're good with etymology, man. Yeah. Wow.
I got the knack, as you
do.
You might
yeah,
say.
You do.
So yeah, the Coast Redwood this week, Casey, and let's just jump right in. Let's imagine, as we do every episode, that you and I, hey, last week I fumbled and said we were going to walk through the Ewok forests of Endor.
Mm-hmm.
This week, We 100% are walking through the forests of Endor.
We're going to jump on our AT-ST.
Yes.
We're going to start cruising down, looking for these little hobbit-like creatures that we can explode with our lasers.
Yeah. Oh, we're okay.
We're on the dark side now, Alex. Sorry. As soon as you jump in the I guess, no, we can be the we can be Chewie and the other homies when they do the
Tarzan yell.
Do the Tarzan yell, and yeah, they go into it. Man, George Lucas, why did you do that?
Yeah, great creative mind, huh?
good one.
And we come across some some redwoods, and Casey, let's go ahead and ID this huge tree.
Okay, so the first thing to note is, of course, these trees are, just as the giant sequoia that we covered the last time, massive trees.
Yeah.
They are huge trees. They don't understand how to be small. They only know how to be big.
Right.
Which is great, because we love that about them. So the giant sequoia grows way up at the top of the mountains, 4,500 feet in the gigantic big Sierra Nevada. Whereas the coast redwood, the topic of today, grows on the coast of California from about Big Sur, the Santa Cruz area, like generally that might, what is it, Monterey Bay.
Mm.
From there, natively, up north to just beyond the Oregon border. So we technically in Oregon here have what we would call native redwoods, which is kind of one of those things where it's like, oh my God. So we just draw like a literal horizontal line completely arbitrarily, and then we decide that, yes, this is now, this is the border, native, not native. So they grow only in what they call the coastal fog belt.
The fog belt.
Yeah, you like that?
I love it.
So it's like San Francisco's famous for fog and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's the same place. So it is essentially that Northern California coast that is so beautifully, beautifully covered in fog, and like what gets all the people to go to California is like, yeah, California, it's great. It's like Northern California and Southern California are like two different vibes entirely.
Yeah, totally.
The redwoods like are the quintessential Northern California vibe.
Mm.
And what they do is they grow on the coast almost no more than 30 miles inland, like almost just directly along this very skinny line on the coast. And that is because they, for whatever reason, have developed a knack for that super wet, super moist area right there that gets like the brunt of every winter rainfall that comes through. And then during the summertime, they have these gigantic clouds that roll in, this big fog. Redwoods are amazing and specifically adapted to let water condensate on their leaves from these clouds, and they suck it up through their leaves, they get water, as well as it drips down through the forest floor to keep the rest of that area super moist.
Hmm.
So the fog belt is not just a nice place they live, it is their like means of getting water from the sky and from the ground.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool, right?
So they like it wet.
They like it wet. That's the perfect way to describe it. So you're walking through this forest, and the first thing you're going to notice is exactly that. They are wet. They're super wet. They're very foggy. They're very moist. You're very comfortable. The humidity is high, but not like tropical forest high. You just feel like it's humid there, but it's kind of cool. And you're seeing again these gigantic, gigantic monoliths in the distance. But these monoliths are way closer together, and they're perfectly straight all the way up. It just looks like you have a series of like very tall spires all right in front of you, and you're almost like, I can't like focus on one. There's so many of these perfectly straight, just tubes going straight up.
Yeah.
But each one of those tubes is like no less than 15 feet in diameter. Not to mention,
Jesus,
that's like a small forest of them. They can get anywhere between, like right now the biggest ones are like up to 26 feet in diameter.
That's so,
like,
around a giant sequoia size there.
It sure is. They are about the same size. Funny enough, there's contention, but historically speaking, the coast redwood would have been the biggest tree ever. It would have overtaken General Sherman. So the book that I'm getting a lot of this information from is one we've gotten a lot of information from for our big giants over here on the coast.
Right.
Forest Giants of the Pacific Coast by Robert Van Pelt.
Van Pelt.
And what Robert describes in here is that there's, in fact, some big trees. As we talked about in the last episode, the Eucalyptus regnans, that there is evidence that there were trees that were taller than 400 feet. Like I said last time, I kind of maybe should have given it more credit. Sorry.
Is that like an all-timer size?
Yeah. This is like when I said the last time, and I'll say again, that people said, yeah, this was the biggest tree, it's over 400 feet tall. Some random loggers said that, but then they never like kept it and like never had other people come out and measure it and be like, yes, official measurement. Let's publish this. It's real. It's existed.
I swear I seen it. They say.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we cut a tree that was this big.
Yeah. So I've heard that one before, guy.
Exactly. Come on. You're not going to pull the wool over our eyes or the fog, but as it works out, legend has it, and there's no reason not to think it. They're right now growing easily over 330 feet. So it's kind of like, well, what's another 70 feet to these trees?
Yeah, nothing.
Give them another 100 years, they're going to get there. Easy.
Sure.
So those trees, the eucalyptus, over 400 feet tall. Other trees that have grown easily over 400 feet tall, very likely, with, again, the same thing, like the unofficial measurements.
Yeah.
Douglas fir.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The closest to our hearts.
An Oregon classic is what I was trying to say.
An Oregon classic, yeah. A ecosystem into and of itself. The Douglas fir is spectacular. Apparently, it would have been as tall. There's no reason to suspect that the coast redwoods also were not this tall. And again, let's picture 400 feet real fast. That's like huge. I think, let's look outside.
Casey is looking outside.
That would go completely across the street and probably cause significant damage to the buildings across the street.
Across the street? That's only like 50 feet, no?
That's way more than 50 feet, Alex.
Maybe I don't know.
That road, the road itself is probably 60 feet wide.
What?
From curb to curb. Probably a little more.
I don't
more.
Know about that.
Yeah, hey, sorry.
It's,
don't know
it's not like you've worked for the city or something.
Yeah, I'm making all of this up. The sidewalks each would be a minimum of 12, probably. So that would 10, rather. So those are at least 20 feet. So it's probably 80 feet just across the road.
Okay.
So then if we walk over like beyond us a little closer, we can say that's 100 feet. So then if we come from this side of the road across this other road, because we're at like this weird diagonal intersection, then all the way over, maybe we can say that's 200 feet.
Okay.
So another 100 feet beyond those buildings in the distance. Everyone, we're sorry. You're not going to be able to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, this is completely...
But I want you to go outside while you're listening to this. We'll wait. Okay, now that you're outside, you'll see that, like, go just measure something out. Just go walk for that long. 300 feet is a football field.
If you chopped down one of these trees at the goalpost,
yes,
it would, the tips of the branches on the very top would hit the other goalpost.
Yes.
That is
precisely
frightening.
Frightening.
That is so fucking big.
Isn't that like, it's hard to contemplate.
It is, yeah.
And anyway, these trees are growing here in this forest. They love the water, deep, luscious soil.
Mm.
They just go crazy about it. So this is the coast redwood, where it grows, how it grows in these beautiful areas. One of the tallest trees, right now the tallest tree that we have measured and officially given the thumbs up to. But Douglas fir, giant sequoia, and the eucalyptus, specifically eucalyptus regnans, those are like the reigning champions with honorary mention the sika spruce.
Well, Casey, let's hit the big three here. We have leaves, bark, and then we're going to talk cone.
That sounds good to me. So in contrast to the giant sequoia, the leaves of the Sequoia sempervirens, which is always very confusing, the coast redwood, they are actually needle-like leaves. They come out, they have little points on the end, so they're kind of a little bit pokey. They're two-ranked, so they come out left and right on either side of their twig, and they are dark green on top with two lines of stomata on the very bottom. So if you flip them over, there's like two white lines directly underneath. So those little guys grow out and they kind of look, it's kind of, I want to say like, they look almost like shaggy, hairy stems.
Yeah, they've got sort of a palm frond attitude.
That's a good attitude to have.
They're not like a pine needle.
No, exactly. Like they're kind of bunched right next to each other. So it's like pop, 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 pop.
They're dense.
Yeah, and then if there's a twig that comes off on the left and right, those also are like pop, 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 right next to each other. So it looks like the tines on a comb if you like smashed them and flattened them out,
mm-hmm.
and then put them all right next to each other, and you build like a little cone man with a bunch of comb man with all these little combs that are a little flattened out. That's what it looks like. So they kind of looked really bunched together.
You're you know, sometimes you really nail an analogy.
Other times.
And then there's comb man.
Comb man, I believe is how it should be pronounced. There's a B, right?
Yeah, they're really densely packed on the twig. They look like they would make a great, you know, if you need to stay dry. You could do worse like than a canopy of these things,
right? Except that they'll be growing so high into the clouds that they'll actually probably more likely than not be causing the rain that's hitting you than just growing, or rather than if you were out standing in the fog.
Let's imagine that you climb it and cut some off.
Yeah, there you go, perfect.
Or there's some that have fallen after a storm.
Yeah, a bit of a tussle. So as it works out, the other thing about these leaves is that where they grow closer, so you have a twig that's growing. That twig then has a new shoot that comes off on the side. So now you have these two twigs at a Y.
Yeah.
Where the new needles come at the base of those twigs, uh-huh. where they kind of touch, the needles are really short. And then as the twig is growing further out, they get a little bit longer. So they kind of have this sort of like like a very smashed histogram kind of idea where they're very tight. Then they go longer, then they go back in towards the tip again.
They almost form like a leaf shape.
They kind of do, yeah. I never actually quite noticed that until you said it.
So do they grow shorter at the base of the stem because they need to have room for the other?
I don't know. I would think so. That would make sense because you don't want, why put so much effort into overlapping things? You're just shading yourself out.
Yeah.
I think it's either that or like it's just getting going. So when it puts on its first new needle flush, like the first one's like, I'm just starting, but then by the time they get to like that size, the needle twig has already grown so far that now it's just like, sorry. And it puts all of its new energy into the next ones and the next ones and the next ones. But then when it starts slowing down, it starts pulling that energy back. So then they get a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller.
I see.
That's what I think, but I'm not sure.
Cool theory. I think the other idea, them not wanting to shade, that's like such a micro adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, like a tree that big, I doubt that amount of shade would make a big difference.
Exactly. It's already just cooking. It doesn't mind. But these trees are also shade tolerant, so it might be that may be the, you know, that could lead us away from that theory.
They tolerate shade.
Therefore, they wouldn't mind if they were shading each other because they still work with it.
Got
so it. That leads us away from that theory.
Got it.
So the leaves are these adorable little leaves, and they grow. They're obviously evergreen. They're very dark green on top. Every now and then, they do have that same bluish tinge that you can get in some conifers.
Yeah.
But the thing about these is that when they drop the entire twig at a time. So that entire little like twig, that comb that we're talking about, you don't lose tine. You only lose that entire comb all at once.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know why exactly the Dawn Redwood does the similar thing where there's individual needles, but it drops that entire twig when it goes deciduous.
It's not messing around.
Yeah. It's just like, it does the whole thing. So it's very curious why it does that.
Well, let's talk bark, Case.
Let's do it. The bark.
Woof, woof.
Man, it's so gorgeous. It's a similar kind of bark pattern as the giant sequoia. The big difference that I see is giant sequoia seem to me to be more rounded off. Like their bark appears more soft. And I mean that both in the strict sense where if you touch it, it looks soft, but also in like the texture on the edges. There's no like sharp points.
I see.
As opposed to the coast redwood, its bark is much more angular as it's growing up.
Yeah, it's a little more roughly hewn.
Yeah, exactly. That is the definition of this bark. That's a beautiful term. So it's very fibrous, but the fibers create these big furrows, and these big furrows kind of crisscross over each other, but they're really elongated and kind of irregularly crossing and crossing.
Mm.
Similar to the giant sequoia, the bark is like 6 inches thick. Like it gets really thick really fast. Also fire resistant. The this tree, even if you do burn it down or burn it, if it gets into the, like, through the bark and into the wood of the tree, the wood will burn, but the rest of the tree will be perfectly fine. Like, it grows in a way that is the exact same as every other tree, where the cambium layer on the outside is what actually is doing all the work going up and down. We learned cambium means exchange. It's where the some things are going up, some things are going down, the phloem and the xylem.
Mm-hmm.
And these trees will just keep on growing right through that.
That's pretty cool.
Their bark is super, super fire resistant.
Do they grow? We talked in the giant sequoia episode how they grow kind of conally,
uh-huh.
where the bark at the bottom is the most thickest.
Yeah,
is that the same with this guy?
It is, only in so much as the bark is at the bottom is the oldest bark, so that's been thickening the longest.
Yeah,
but it doesn't grow as thick quite as fast as the giant sequoia. The sequoia beats it out on that.
So it's more columnal.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is amazing how quickly it will create that columnal shape, columnar shape, where you just have this column that looks like it's perfectly straight for literally hundreds of feet, like sometimes 150 feet or more. No branches, just a straight column. And if you measured it at the bottom and you measured it at the top, you would certainly see there's a difference in diameter, maybe of like a few inches or a foot or something. But it's separated by 80 feet or more of space, and so you can't tell, you know, the difference. Like, oh, is that smaller up there or down there? Like, where's the increments on that?
Right,
you just can't tell.
It's so incremental that you can't really tell by looking.
You just can't tell. You have to actually measure it to see the difference.
Okay.
So the bark is really huge. The bark is just this orange color. Of course, we always call it redwood because it's very reddish orange.
Right.
And the bark or the wood itself is also very red. So it really does keep its term redwood very well.
So the bark and the wood are both red.
Yeah.
Well, Casey, let's talk cone.
Cone.
I have something to say about this cone.
All right. I will hear it now.
I look at it,
mm-hmm.
and if you put one of these next to a giant sequoia cone, I'm not sure I could tell you the difference.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure you could tell us the difference.
I sure can.
Well, they're from different trees, I know that much.
What other questions do you have?
I saw where you were going.
So the difference between these cones, Alex, is the coast redwood is maybe an inch or inch and a half long.
Aha!
Always. And it looks exactly, I'll take you down a continuum here. You have the Don redwood. The Don redwood, it's a bunch of lips, as we know from our most recent Cone of the Month Club.
Yes.
Now, that adorable little cone is very like smooth, and all the features are very well defined for the Don redwood.
Yeah,
it's a perfect little cone, very woody, stays exactly what it is. You love it. You go and then transform it into a coast redwood cone. That cone will look kind of superficially similar,
mm-hmm.
but it will look like it has aged 1,000 years in terms of like getting really wrinkly and like, oh, I can't move my lips. Like, I'm not as perfect. Like, it's just a little like, it looks like it has been like aged the way that humans age, where we kind of get wrinkly and lose the collagen and we kind of, you know, look a little saggy and that kind of thing.
It's a bunch of dehydrated lips.
Exactly. That's exactly what it looks like, is a bunch of dehydrated lips that don't like have that like same youthful attitude.
Interesting.
But they're the exact same size.
Oh, they are?
Exact same size. Like, all right. Damn near. Very, very close.
Okay, interesting.
Then the giant sequoia, it has that same wrinkliness that you could ever want, but imagine that wrinkliness maintained its like strength and like structural integrity.
Okay.
And then tripled or quadrupled in size.
Right.
And got way bigger. That is the giant sequoia, where it has the same like bunch of lips, bunch of wrinkly lips, but a bunch of wrinkly lips that are like, I'm old but still fit, you know?
Old but still lit, yeah, like the bristle cone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love these humongous trees with tiny little cones.
They are, and they are tiny, and the seeds inside, even tinier. Like,
sure.
Like, I think they're maybe 2 or 3 millimeters wide.
Wow. Like,
teeny tiny.
Casey, we have so much more to say, or to say about this tree. But we got to take a break. We always do.
The time comes. It'll pass.
And it is that time. And we'll talk to you real soon. Call us back. We'll be right back after this break. with more Completely Arbitrary. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this, that I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work. You know, because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning. And you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so, like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, let everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods. And I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after your purchase, enter the promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-bloomin'. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates. Sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted. Even though I love those people and enjoy being around them, but therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I got to drive all the way across town. I am not going to go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the coast redwood.
That's right.
Latin.
Sequoia sempervirens.
Sequoia sempervirens. The lighthouse living uncle of the giant sequoia.
Yep, yep. Here is like, I'm just going to go down a list of things about the coast redwood. And these each, I think we should talk about in turn.
This is what our podcast has turned into, yes. A list of things.
Yeah, we're essentially the BuzzFeed of podcasts.
Wow. Number 10.
Number 10. Yeah, well, that's also like a little bit of a Discovery Channel thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Number 10 most dangerous trees.
Right. Most gnarly shark bites.
Most gnarly shark bites. That would be a great Patreon. And we'll just, like, everyone be like, what, you guys actually just went through gnarly shark bites you found on the internet.
Gnarlysharkbites.com.
Yeah, that's right.
GSB.
Anyway, back to trees.
Whatever.
So, the coast redwood is a tree that everyone, like, everyone in the world thinks is great. Like, people come from all over the world to see these trees.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think they're going to go see the sequoias, and they mess up, and they go to San Francisco, and they just stay on the coast, and then they're like, what? Where's this one? The famous ones, like you said, you can drive through, which is, it's just such a thing. Everyone thinks there's a tree that you can drive through. Like, let's go, did you go to the drive-through tree? There's, like,
a whole 30. Bunch. Yeah. Wow.
Anyone who had private land with a big tree, they like made that happen. They just dug a big tunnel into a tree.
Was that a product of car culture in the 50s?
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Where everyone, that's as soon as people started coming over to California to live their, you know, fancy lives after the war, and they had their newfangled car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which is it worked back then because cars were way smaller, so that you could just like drive a little teeny tiny Model T through this, you know, medium-sized tree. But then they kept it going, and people were like, "What? What are you saying? I can't drive my Hummer through this tree." And it's like, it's a small tank, and our tree is only a certain diameter. It's very sad, but it's just I think of all things is tree mutilation, because the trees are still living,
right?
So and they just carve a hole into it.
Do they compartmentalize around these things?
Yeah, I mean, they try their best.
That's a big hole.
It's a big
fill.
Hole to do. Yeah, damn. But that's what's great about these trees is they still live. Like that tree is still probably a healthy tree, or any of those trees. One fell over like a couple of years ago, which makes sense. It's very structurally compromised.
My God, yes.
You cut a hole in it.
Man, that is such a tacky fucking embarrassing display.
It used to be everyone wanted to do it. Like,
how
that was the
fucking
thing.
Fucking lame.
Well, it does, though, Alex, exemplify something that's amazing about these trees.
Yeah.
Is that they are survivors.
Yeah.
They only need the tiniest amount of connection between their roots and the upper canopy, and they will live. Not only will they live, they will still thrive and grow taller as long as they don't physically fall over.
Yeah.
They will continue to just bang it out like they've been doing it every single day.
This is surprising to me because you would think a tree that needs and loves so much water would need a lot of cambium to move that shit up and down.
Yeah.
But like you said, what is that reverse breathing thing they do? Where they suck in water through the leaves?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I like the idea of reverse breathing. That's cool.
So they have that.
Yeah, that's half the reason they're such good survivors in this area specifically, but also elsewhere, because they can still suck in water in good conditions from their stomata way up in the canopy.
And is that an adaptive behavior?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, most trees can't do that or don't do that.
Sure.
And they just need to get water from their roots. Some can, so it's definitely not a 100% one way or the other. Some do it to a certain degree. Redwoods are adept at it.
Cool.
Very good. And, of course, like we said before, they're the tallest growing tree right now in the entire world. Used to be way bigger in terms of volume than even the giant sequoia.
Wow.
There's a legend has it 55,000 cubic feet of space, which if you recall is I think 1,000 cubic feet bigger than the biggest giant sequoia that we have right now, General Sherman. What did Casey try to say? So that's pretty friggin' cool.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. I mean,
I've said it several times in this episode and the previous episode. It's sort of incomprehensible.
Unfathomable.
Incomprehensible?
Incomprehensible.
Incomprehensible.
Yes.
Not comprehensible.
Correct. It is comprehensible nah.
No, you sounded like Matt Berry right there.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you do.
All right, he's a funny guy. So in the thing about these trees that I think is like the most spectacular of all is nobody before the 1980s really gave too much of a shit about what's going on up in the canopy of a tree. They were just like, it was trees. It was some bird's nests, some lichen, moss, whatever.
Sure.
Get out of here.
We can't see up there. Why care?
Yeah, why care? So a couple enterprising people, one guy's name is Steve Sillett, and he's a researcher at the Humboldt State University in Northern California. And Steve was like, you know what? I'm curious. And there were others. I fail to remember their names off the top of my head, but he's by far the most famous of them. But there were multiple different people who have started pioneering, climbing into the canopy. One person, Nalini Nadkarni, is another researcher who also said, we should climb trees and see what's going on up there.
Wow.
And it was just like a stunning, stunning revelation. So we're saying, hey, don't cut down these trees. They're habitat. They create habitat because they create a forest, and they create the conditions in which a forest can thrive. A forest meaning all the other plants and trees and animals and things that live on the ground and live inside this ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
So we said, don't cut these trees down because they as a collection are good. So then Steve and all these other folks basically are like, hold on. Well, what's up there? Like, these are the tallest growing things. They are some of the oldest growing things. They've been around for thousands of years. They are so massive that the biggest one right now, I think it's called Hyperion. And it's like, I think the most complex canopy ever like mapped in the world.
Wow.
Because it like goes up and has this big gigantic arm that comes off. And like, they're just, it's like, the architecture of it is beyond comprehensive again. So they kind of said, well, these things are so huge. Could they be an ecosystem unto themselves?
Oh my God.
The suspense. So these people started climbing these trees, Alex. They went all the way up and it's like, okay, well, they actually have to take crossbows with little wires on them, shoot them up over the tree or into the tree somehow. That comes down. Then they pull up pull that string 300 feet up and 300 feet back down with a rope attached to it, attach that rope to their harnesses, and they sidle on up. That's how they do it.
A crossbow.
A freaking crossbow.
That's pretty. It's like a grappling hook, yeah. Essentially.
Essentially, yeah.
Sort of.
There's nothing else that shoots that far up. Like, they have to shoot 300 feet straight up.
Amazing.
Or at least a couple hundred feet, and then that's like some of them, the first branch isn't for 100 feet or so.
Ooh, and then they climb them. God, and that then, makes my skin crawl.
Oh, imagine how the tree feels.
Probably nothing. Casey, would you...
What are you talking about? There's literally a thing crawling on its skin.
Would you... it's not skin. Casey, would you climb a tree like that?
Absolutely. I've been 175 feet. I think that's my highest. Probably close to 150.
You know what you are? You're a mad lad.
Yes, right I am.
That's insane, right. Case.
It's so cool, though. Like, to get up to the top of a tree like that and see what it's like. Like, let's just say you can do it safe, right? So there's ways that they can do it and get people who are not, like, climby people up, where they essentially, one person who is a climby person goes up, sets the rope on a pulley. That pulley then brings back down, or they set the rope all the way through, go back to the bottom. Let's say they're like, hey, how much do you weigh? You're like, I weigh 150 pounds. Then you put 150 pounds on the other side of this rope. Now you have these two lines, and you pull that 150 feet or 150 pounds up to the top of the tree. You then set a line that goes from 150 pound weight top of the tree all the way down to you, 150 pounds on the bottom of the tree. Then they just pull on one side, and it's like a dumb waiter where you just pull on one side and then the whole thing comes up. It's like waiting for a backdrop or something if you're doing theater.
I mean, I personally would never in a million years. I have over the past few years, I've developed a random phobia of heights.
Ah, well, there you go. I guess it happens.
I would never do this. Even looking at pictures of these little, what look like squirrels on a normal size tree.
Yeah, that's exactly the right idea.
It's pretty terrifying.
It is. And you can look up photos of this because National Geographic has followed Steve Sillett. There's a bunch of people who are all about it. The redwoods, because they're in like a very populated and a very wealthy area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like save the redwoods and like these leagues and, you know, groups and that kind of thing. Which is wonderful. I just wish we had that for literally every species of tree out there, except for maybe like the apple. We don't need to save those.
The tree of heaven.
Yeah, or you know, get rid of the thundercloud plum. I don't need the American Society of Thundercloud Plums. Okay, don't worry about it. Shift your focus.
I mean, redwoods have that star power.
They do.
They've got
they
that name recognition.
That. Yeah. So, they would do that. So you can climb up there, but Alex, when you're at the top of this tree, the thing looks completely different. Like it looks the same because obviously you're in a tree, like you can see it, but you're not imagining that there's like this little perfect point where you're on like this little whip of a stem and you're like, oh, it's kind of moving around. It is up there at such a high elevation that it's been battered by everything for so long that you have these thick branches where the one that I was in, which again was half this height, the branches kind of grew up and then just kind of grew out and flattened out really nicely. So you could just sit up there. You couldn't move the branches. They were unbendable. They were so densely wooded because they grow a teeny tiny bit over, you know, a single year. So you have 50 years worth of growth and the thing is maybe an inch wide, but you can't bend it because it's just so dense and thick and hard.
Wow.
So you're sitting up there at the top of this tree and you're looking around and you're like, wow, I'm at the top of a forest, like just living in it. You can just look out and see the tops of all the trees and all the other things that are going on around you. And on top of that, you have this tree that has been living up there with this branch right here, growing bigger and bigger for say 500 years. So it is maybe now 3 feet in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
It has been sitting there with needles dropping on it for hundreds and hundreds of years. There's other branches. There's other unions where you have this little like branch popping out, so it creates this little cup. Then you have a branch that fell 100 years ago and now is kind of squished between this. You have this complexity that develops in this canopy. You get all these little decaying pieces of detritus, and then you get a bird that lands over there, and that bird is just ate a bunch of huckleberries. It poops out some huckleberries. Then you get some squirrels who are like, what the heck is going on up here? And they climb up because that's what they do. Flying squirrels specifically live in this area. They don't even touch the ground. Red treevils, same thing. So you end up finding that these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years worth of soil developing from fungus decaying different bits of plants that have landed on there. Then you get these seeds that come in from the birds. All of a sudden, Alex, you have huckleberries and thimbleberries and bunchberries and all these other little herbs that are deposited by certain animals that start growing up on this moss-covered thing where there's literally feet of soil because it's just been decaying needles for hundreds and hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years.
I have spent the last 2 minutes staving off a panic attack because I started thinking about being in this tree.
Oh, gosh.
And I feel it in my chest.
I'm sorry, Alex. All right. So imagine
Hear what you said.
Yeah. You're not climbing. You're floating. Like you're in a little airplane. Like a little drone has picked you up.
All right.
And it's taking you over there.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So
wow. Okay. So there's a whole garden. There's a whole scene up there, man.
There is a whole scene, and it's very urban. It's very cool.
Is there like a cafe at the top?
Oh, of course there is. Yeah, and they sell microbrews.
Can I order a panini?
Probably. Yes.
So you could. Are there actual like berry bushes growing on this tree?
Yes.
That's fucking wild.
There are berry bushes. There are like everything you could imagine in terms of epiphytes, which are these plants that grow on the side of another plant.
Yeah.
So mosses and lichen and licorice fern, those kinds of things, okay. Like ferns and these little bits that grow on things. But then there's also whatever you would see on the forest floor also up here as well. So huckleberries and redwood sorrel, which looks like a little clover kind of thing, bunch berries and ferns and everything you could ever imagine that could grow on the ground would be growing up on these stems, these crotches, in these branches.
Any fungus going on?
Oh yeah, all over the place, because that's what that's how they live. That's how all these things are decomposed, is by fungus and little creatures.
Right.
So you have fungus that's growing up there, probably not as much fungus as what you'd expect somewhere else, because there's only a certain amount of space.
Oh, okay.
But they live. Because, I mean, it's not, it is huge, but imagine like a branch the size of your bed over here.
Yeah.
And this is, what, a full size or queen?
That's a queen.
Yeah. So a queen size bed. There's branches that are that big in these trees.
As wide as that?
As wide as that. And so that would be...
You lay on top of it.
Yeah, you could lay on top of it. Everything else is laying on top of it, decomposed over millions or not millions, thousands, if possible, years, but many times hundreds of years. And then you get that soil buildup. Fungus starts doing its job. It starts blooming up over here, popping up little mushrooms. That moves to another tree. And these are decay fungus that decay detritus, not the tree themselves, because the tree's still alive. It's fighting off any times that comes in, any fungus that tries to get in its bark. Mm-hmm. It's like, stay out. And the bark's like, okay, cool. The fungus doesn't worry about it. It's not worth its time. It's got plenty to eat. It's not going to go kill that tree.
Yeah.
The defenses of the tree are too good. Secondly, you get animals that come along with that. There are entire species of salamanders that live only in the canopy.
Salamanders?
Yeah.
What are they doing all the way up there?
You know what? They just jump. I assume they walk. Like they just walk straight up the side of it. Maybe they get dropped off by a bird or something. But they have also, you get those salamanders because there are so many little arthropods and bugs and beetles and things and worms. Anything that lives on the bottom will live up top, and they will live up top and never come down.
Wow.
They will go through entire life cycles of reproduction, death, and rebirth only up there in the canopy of these trees.
Wild.
Isn't that insane?
You know what I was just thinking? This thing would make a fantastic nurse log.
Yes, it is. It is essentially a living nurse log.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Casey, I think this is a great time to get into our review of the Coast Redwood.
Okay.
How exciting.
Oh, Alex, I'm excited.
Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on this tree, what we feel, what we think. Then we'll give it a cone rating, 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident expert, as he takes a quick drink of water to wet his palate for this dissertation, we begin with you.
I just want to first off say thank you, everyone, for having me. Completely Arbitrary, all of you listeners out there, this has been such a spectacular honor.
You have to thank the council.
Yes, and the council as well as the academy and all my salamander homies.
My wandering friends.
My wandering friends. Never stop wandering. To get to the point, the Coast Redwood is many times the answer that I provide when someone says, Casey, what is your favorite tree?
Wow.
Once we started this podcast, I refused to answer that question because I would, be like, well, I don't know. I now professionally rate and review trees. Therefore, if I say one that is my favorite, that is me giving away my profession for free. Yeah, if you do something good, don't do it for free.
Oh, my,
you
know what I mean? God.
No, I just, honestly, I, sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I love that.
It's mostly that I didn't want to give it away. So, I'm giving it away now.
Wow.
This is my favorite tree.
Casey.
I have reasons as to why, and I will go through them one by one. The first, this tree is an ecosystem unto itself. We had just talked about the fact that it supports everything as a living nurse log, right? It supports laurels and rhododendrons and little flowering plants of all kinds. Not to mention, there has been a literal 40-foot tall hemlock, a tree in and of its own self, growing in the canopy of a redwood.
That is extremely cool.
I've also seen that in the Western Red Cedar, so credit due.
Of course.
But there's also ecosystems that live up there, salamanders that live and breed in these trees, and it turns out they do climb. They just climb up the side of it.
Do that again.
Just go up the little like Alex Honnold up there, free soloing. So they climb up there, they follow the worms that also, for whatever reason, climb up there, and then they eat that, they live, they breed, you get little voles that live up there that support owls that only eat these things.
Wow.
If you want to read a great little story about this, the Overstory talks about this, and it's the most tragic part of the book for sure.
Wow.
But it is, the trees themselves are entire ecosystems, so don't cut them down because they're destroying the ecosystem that's below it. Don't cut it down because you're destroying a whole microcosm that's up there. Next thing, it is outlived everything that could hurt it. Everything. There's no fungus that attacks it. Mm. It doesn't have a single fungus that I know of that will cause it to die or to decay the middle out. It's beaten them. No insects get it. There's no insects that will climb into a tree and kill it. They have beat them. Fires don't affect them. If a fire comes in, which happened this last summer, and it burns through coast redwoods, they just sprout entirely brand new.
Yeah.
Like a little furry stem of a plant. And then they're just like, gonna keep going. Then they keep going.
Yeah.
They don't care. They will, if you cut them down, if the fire does get into the middle, if there's even the slightest amount of space, I've seen them be 100% hollow, like two pieces of bark going up 30 feet, then connecting, and then a brand new perfect stem grow up from there as if it was nothing happened.
Mm.
They are unstoppable trees. You cut them down, and from the base of the stump, the everywhere around that stump, new sprouts will shoot up, and they will create new gigantic trees. They call those fairy rings.
Aww.
Yeah, where you have like a 30-foot stump that then has a perfect circle of now, you know, 24-inch stems growing out of it. You're like, why are these trees in a literal perfect circle? It's because, well, they sprouted from a perfect circle.
Fascinating.
All the genes of those trees are exactly the same. They are clones.
So, like in Lord of the Rings, where the elves meet in the forest?
Yes.
That could have been like one of those.
Very likely. That's perfect. That's a great example. So, on top of that, that's if you cut them down. They grow. They're the biggest. They're the tallest.
Yeah.
They can take water from the sky and the air. What have they not solved?
Look at you.
They're a 10 out of 10, Alex.
Wow!
They're the perfect tree. I can't say that. The only time I've said another 10 has been the bristlecone pine.
Yeah.
Because it's solved all the problems, but done it in a way that's like, I'm just going to stay here and never stop. The coast redwood did the opposite, where they're like, throw it at me. I'm living in the most fertile, beautiful, fungus-ridden space in the entire planet, other that isn't, you know, a tropical forest. And it's crushing it.
Yeah.
It just punches away anything that comes near it, including humans. We don't replant coastal redwood forests. We cut them down and they just regrow.
Yeah.
They just sprout from the old trees. They're the perfect tree. There's just no question. There's no tree that is as good.
Amazing.
I don't know how to say it.
10 out of 10 golden cones of honor.
It's 10 out of 10 little funky, little lippy golden cones of honor.
How exciting. Wow, Casey.
This is why I couldn't. That's the real reason why I didn't want to tell anyone when they asked me. And they're like, what is your favorite tree? I'm like, well, we got a whole episode planned about it.
Wow.
Okay, that's just all I have to say.
A perfect 10.
Not to mention, they're stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
Stunningly beautiful. They're forests unlike anything else.
I got to get me down there.
I'm going to send you up into a tree is what we're going to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Alex, I'm sorry. It was very exciting. But the people need to know what your view is.
Yeah, sure.
Of the coast redwoods. Sequoia sempervirens.
Yeah.
The evergreen sequoia.
Okay. I think it's okay.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
I'm kidding. Clearly a powerhouse. Clearly a marvel of nature. King of the Forests. Why not? A true legend of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Ewok approved.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What do you say? I ran into a similar issue in our Giant Sequoia episode. Like, what are you gonna say about it? It's like, yeah, I'm not gonna have any new revelatory opinions on this tree that somebody else hasn't gone over a million times.
I disagree. I find that many of your opinions are quite novel.
Well, I appreciate that, Casey. I think you said it best. It's legendary. It has whole ecosystems living in it, which is just mind-boggling. I now want to see like a Red Wall type sitcom. Red Wall meets like in a sitcom fashion. You know Red Wall?
No.
Red Wall is a book series by Brian Jacques or Jacques Brian.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. Children's books, medieval. It's set in like a medieval time, but everybody's a woodland creature.
Oh,
all the characters are woodland creatures.
I see. Okay.
The abbeys are run by mouses and or mice, as you might call them.
Yeah, I'd say mouses.
So imagine a cast of characters living in a redwood tree.
Ah, yes. Okay, I see.
It'd be very adorable. Somebody make that happen. There's talented artists listening right now. Please make my dreams come true.
Yes. Oh, it's our dream now.
Man, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it an 8, or sorry, yes.
Talk your way through.
An 8.99 Golden Cones of Honor.
0.99?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For my own opinion.
Stunning.
However, I think it deserves to be in the Golden Arboretum of Honor.
Oh,
so because it is my good friend Casey Clapp's favorite tree, that earns it 0.01 cones.
Oh my God.
Bringing my score to a nice round 9.0.
9.0.
Golden Cones of Honor.
Wow, I want to know. Alex, this is so exciting. This is two trees in a row that we get to hear the melodica sing us a melody.
Two. The coastal redwood, to the coast redwood, we honor you.
Congratulations, and thank you.
Congratulations, Coast Redwood. You are an official inductee into the Golden Arboretum of Honor.
I'm crying a little bit.
Casey's tearing up.
I wanted this for so long.
That was our review of the Coast Redwood. Casey, it's time for a segment.
I'm so excited.
And I'm handing this one over to you, Casey.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Happy to be here. So, As we discussed last week, and I'll discuss again, it's your birthday today.
It is my birthday today, yes.
Happy birthday. Sorry for everyone.
As of the recording of this episode, January 20th, it's my
exactly.
birthday.
So sorry for you hearing it again. However, you get a double dip because this game is Jeopardy! Part 2.
Wow! Casey!
I decided to write a Jeopardy. It's not about you specifically, but I didn't want you to have to, you know, spend this whole time coming up with a game. Think to me, I was like, this is your day. You get to play a game.
You know, so a week ago, I told Casey, gosh, you know what? That Jeopardy was so fun. We should do that again. I can't remember what episode we did the original one in, but Casey.
Here we go.
This is a great birthday present. Thank you.
Alex, thank you. Happy birthday. We could not have done this podcast without you.
Wow.
You are absolutely an integral part of something that we're all happy to hear. So, everyone, when you hear this for the second week in a row, go shout out Alex Grissom.
Wow.
Here we go.
All right. What are the categories?
Category number one, architecture.
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 Okay.
Category number two, books. Next one, Fungal and Associates.
Fungal and Associates, the law firm?
Yes, exactly. Okay. LLC.
La La.
Thank you.
Moving on.
Bob Law's Law Blog.
The La La Corporation.
Yes. The next one is The Bees Trees.
Wow.
The next one, the final one is Heroes.
Okay.
Alex, Heroes.
The David Bowie song.
Exactly. Very similar to that. I'll give you a quick rundown. Architecture, those are tree terms. Generally, tree terms. You know, okay. Sometimes the architecture of trees.
Great.
Books, those are books that we have somehow covered or talked about in this podcast.
Okay.
The next one, Fungal and Associates. That's about fungals and associates.
Okay.
Fungus and associates. The next one, the bees, trees. Mm-hmm. Those are trees that we've covered that start with the letter B.
Fun.
The final one, heroes. Alex, name that hero.
Okay, like Greek hero?
All sorts of heroes. Okay. Popular culture heroes.
Oh, I'm interested to see who you think is a hero.
I'm interested to see if you can guess who I think are heroes. Here's how the game plays. We have 100, 200, 300, 400 level questions. We have five categories. Alex, as our winner from last week, which yes. I believe you had approximately $1 million.
Wow, okay.
The best, the most in all time.
Doctor.
You get to choose the first category. I will reiterate, you get points for things you get right. I won't take away points if you get them wrong.
Oh, great.
I don't think that's how it works.
I love that adjustment.
Isn't it? Is that how, isn't it?
No, that is not how it works. You bet whatever the, you're betting whatever money that question is worth when you play Jeopardy.
Oh, gosh. Okay, cool. Yeah, we're going to do that. Okay. So, you're betting whatever is here.
I have one request.
Yes.
When I ask the thing,
yep.
Will you say answer?
Yes.
Before giving me the clue?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I'll take, what is it, 2, 3, 4, and 5? 100?
No, 1, 2, 3, and 400. Okay.
I'll take architecture for 200.
Architecture for 200. Answer. This is the carrot of root growth that disappears as trees age.
What is the taproot?
That's correct. Taproot is correct. Alex, that's 200 points.
Well, hey.
Okay. Whoops.
I'm going to make rent tonight.
You bet you are. All right, Alex, the floor is yours.
The bees trees for 100, please.
The bees trees for 100. Answer. This tree is a homonym for another thing in Oregon that's very often gray.
The sky is very often gray in Oregon.
Yes. Now, where is that sky most often gray? That's a homonym with a tree.
See, I'm forgetting what homonym means.
Oh, a homonym is a word that is exactly the same, or sounds the same, but has different meanings.
Oh, sure.
Depending on the context.
Okay. I have no idea.
Beech tree.
The beech tree.
Sorry, that was a hard one.
I see. Okay.
And that was only 100.
God dang.
All right. You're down to 100 points now, Alex.
The producers aren't fucking around.
No, they isn't. All right. Next to you.
I'll take architecture for 100.
Architecture for 100. Answer. This is when two parts of a tree are put together to grow together.
What is grafting?
That is correct. Well done, Alex. That puts you in the lead.
All right.
We'll be right back after these breaks.
Colgate for when you're... I'll take books for 300, please, Casey.
Books, 300. All right, Alex, here we go. The answer is this book was inspiration for several other related topics, especially the sweet ones. Another hint would be we used it at the beginning of the podcast very often.
What is the Sibley Guide?
No. Oh, too bad. That is braiding sweetgrass.
Oh,
specifically
my God.
In reference to the Sugar Maple episode where we used it and many other things.
A lifetime ago, Casey.
A lifetime ago. Alex, you're at negative 100 points.
All right, it happens.
All right, here
I'll
we go.
Come back.
What do you got next?
What's that last, the middle? Oh, I'll take Fungal and Associates for 200, please.
Fungal and Associates for 200. Alex, answer. This fungus type forms symbiosis with tree roots.
What is a mycorrhizal fungi?
That's the one. You're at 100 now. You're dancing around zero, and that's hey, what we like to see.
That's right, my Alex. Style, baby.
What do we got next?
What's that last category again?
Heroes.
I'll take heroes for 200.
Ah, heroes for 200. Answer. This hero beheaded the only mortal Gorgon.
Who is Theseus?
No, if you can buzz back in.
Who is Heracles?
You are close, but still wrong.
Who
if you
is...
can buzz back in.
Achilles.
Not quite there.
Who is
Sorry, Alex. Bad news. That was Perseus.
I'm so ashamed.
Yep, Perseus did
Perseus that. Was what I thought I was saying when I was saying Theseus.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll give you the points then.
No. Points. Okay. I got it wrong.
You're at negative 100.
They are Greek heroes.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take heroes for 100.
Heroes for 100. Let's see how Greek this answer is. Answer, this isn't the hero we deserve, but it's the one we need.
Okay, who is Batman?
That is the Batman. You're at 0 points. Alex, well done. That was a swift answer.
Heroes is fun. I'll take heroes for 300.
Heroes for 300. Answer, this hero walked for a long time carrying a heavy burden much of the way.
God. Who is Jesus Christ?
No, not Jesus Christ. This hero walked for a long time carrying a very heavy burden most of the way.
Who's Forrest Gump?
No, you're close. What burden was
it's he? It's not Jesus Christ?
No, this is not Jesus Christ. It's more like folk pop culture heroes.
Walked a very long way carrying a heavy burden.
I don't know why you also think that's Jesus Christ.
He walked to his own crucifixion carrying his own cross.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't a very long way. I'm talking about like Middle Earth long.
Oh, is it Frodo?
Is it Frodo? Was Frodo the one that carried the heavy burden?
Oh my God. Who is Sam?
Samwise Gamgee is the right answer. Well done, because we all know who actually carried Frodo, who carried the ring.
Okay, hold on. I have something to say about this. Everybody is I understand Sam's contribution. Frodo took it 99% of the way.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been able to go even 50% of that if Sam hadn't literally carried him half the way. He wouldn't have even gone up the mountain, Alex.
He only carried in the last bit.
Hey. That counted for the most. It was the
steepest. Oh, it's like proportionally 50% of the journey.
I think so. Frodo got himself almost eaten by
Gorgon.
Yeah, and a giant spider.
It's true.
Yeah, come on.
Shalab.
Anyway.
I'll take architecture for 400, Casey.
Architecture for 400, Alex. Answer. This is the red veil over the seed of a nutmeg.
Ooh, what is mace?
That is correct. We'll take that answer. Also, it is the aurel.
Yes, that I knew that too.
Oh, good. Okay, perfect.
You can also find aurels on pomegranate seeds.
Yes, that is exactly right. Well done. You are clawing your way to the top.
I'll round it out. Architecture for 300.
Architecture for 300. Answer, this series of tubes takes water and nutrients up.
What is cambium?
Oh,
excuse me. What is phloem? What is xylem?
Xylem is the correct answer. Oh, Alex just saw me staring at him blankly. I think we would have accepted cambium.
Sure.
That was an acceptable answer.
Because the xylem and the phloem make up the cambium.
Exactly.
But one goes down, one goes up.
Exactly. Phloem goes down because it flows down.
Well,
that's
sure.
The way to remember.
Okay.
All right, Alex. What do we got next?
Xylem goes up because it's fun to play a xylophone like...
Hey, that's a really good, the perfect way to remember that.
Less fun than...
I'm going to start playing or telling it to people when I teach them how to identify these things.
There you go.
Great job.
The bee's trees for 200, Case.
The bee's trees for 200. Let's hope that this is a better clue than the last one. Answer, what's that smell? Never mind. Let's plant it everywhere, said apparently everyone.
What is the Bradford pear?
The Bradford pear is correct. Alex, that's you're now past $1,000.
All right.
The board is yours. You're at $1,100.
All right. I'll take Fungal and Associates for 100,
Here
Casey.
We go. Answer.
I'm just dancing around this daily double, huh?
You sure are. This fungus creates a burnt zone around its host oak.
What is the black truffle?
That is correct, Alex. Right. Well done. I could see the ruffled brow as you're like, I think it's this.
It has sort of an allelopathic thing going on. Bees trees for 300.
Bees trees for 300. This is a daily double, Alex.
Whoa, a daily quadruple.
This is almost unheard of.
That's amazing.
Probably will never happen again. Here's the question. Here's the answer. Rather, okay. It's just this is more just now we're just getting to trivia. Name all four trees that have black in their common name. How much do you want to wager?
How much do I have currently?
You have $1,200.
I'll wager, I think you're supposed to wager before you get the clue, but I'll wager like 600.
600 it is. All right, your wager is 600. All right, Alex, you have 30 seconds on the clock. Can you name all four trees that we've covered on this show
yeah.
that have black in the common name. Begin.
They're nigras, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The black willow.
Yep.
Black walnut.
Yep.
Black spruce.
Yep.
Japanese black pine.
That's it, Alex. Well done. All right, so you bet 600. Does that mean you get 600?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. You're at 1800, Alex. Whew. Well done. All right, here we go. Next up.
I'm proud of myself for that one.
That was good. That was a really hard one, honestly. You would have got points for the three that you got, though.
Oh, good.
Okay, what do you got?
Let's take Fungal and Associates for 300.
Fungal and Associates for 300. They said it couldn't happen twice.
Oh, my God.
There's a second daily double. Alex, congratulations. This one is a little bit more challenging, but I think you can do it. Okay. How much do you want to wager?
I'll wager, you know what? How much do I have now?
Yeah, 1,800.
I'll wager another 600.
Another 600, Alex. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. 600 on the table. Name at least four of the five fungi on the coveted completely arbitrary sticker sheet.
All right. King Boleet.
King Boleet.
Fly Agarica.
Fly Agarica or Agaricus.
Okay.
We'll take both.
Chanterelle.
Chanterelle. There's three.
Morel.
Morel. There's four. Alex, congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll give you an extra 200 points if you can name the last one.
Ooh, honey.
That's it. Oh my God. That puts you at $2,600.
And if you want one of those sticker sheets, go to arbitrarypod.com/merch. That's ARBORTRAYpod.com/merch today.
Welcome back, everyone. What an exciting round we just had. We have only six more to go.
All right.
Alex, what do you have?
Books.
Books.
For 100, please.
For 100. Here we go. All right. Answer. This book brought Greek life front and center.
What is Mythos?
That's right.
By Mythos. Stephen Fry.
You are now at 2,700 unassisted points.
Books for four.
Books for 400. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Shabow! Answer. This book details the forest among the fungus.
Details the forest among the fungus.
Mm.
Oh.
If you can get us to the answer, that works.
It's, I know it. I swear I know it, but
yes,
I don't know it. I'm not going to get there.
It's by Suzanne Simard.
Oh, the mother tree. Finding the mother tree.
That's right. 400 unassisted points. Alex, you're at 2,900.
All right.
Well done. What do you got next? Three more.
I'll take birds and the bees for 400.
The bees trees for 400. Answer. Quote, when I was your age, unquote, is how this tree begins literally talking to everything.
What is the bristlecone pine?
Oh my God. 300. Well done.
The oldest tree.
The oldest tree. Over 5,000. 5,000 years
Incredible.
Old. Yeah.
That was around during the first kingdom of the Egyptian empire.
Yeah, which is wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well done, Alex. You crushed the bee's trees except for the beech tree.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, two more.
Fungal and Associates for four.
Fungal and Associates for 400. Answer, these fungal associates are a network of tree-minded beings from around the world.
What are the listeners of Completely Arbitrary?
That's right. Everyone, you're the best in the world. That's why you're worth 400 points. All right. Thank you, guys. You're the single best.
You got me 400 points.
Alex.
I'm paying that rent.
You better be.
Heroes for four.
Almost $4,000 today. All right, heroes for 400. Alex, yeah. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
His brow is sweating.
My mother's spaghetti on my sweater already.
Answer. This hero can jump great heights, swim like a fish, and became an important senator.
Jump great heights. Oh. Mm-hmm. Who is Jar Jar Binks?
You got it, Alex. What a spectacular end.
Oh wow,
the
Casey.
Greatest hero of our time, Jar Jar Binks.
Very good. How did I do? What
Alex,
was my total?
Spectacular. You got $4,100.
Wow.
That is outstanding. I think we're going to it's the best anyone's ever done on Completely Arbitrary.
I came back.
Jeopardy. You sure did. You had a rough start, but that's okay.
Is there a final Jeopardy?
There is no final Jeopardy. We actually ran out of time. We have to cut straight to the next show, which is Wheel of Fortune.
All right.
So, sorry.
I'm down for that, too. Casey, very well done. That was a lot of fun.
Happy birthday, Alex. I hope you had a good time.
Thank you. I had a great time. Casey, it's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A.
All righty.
This week's question is from Guinevere.
Guinevere, hi, how are you?
Hello, Guinevere. Guinevere says, after listening to your opinions on bonsai, I wonder what each of you thinks of the living tree sculptures and furniture of Peter Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar, Casey?
I am.
If you search for Pooktre Art, P-O-O-K-T-R-E Art, you will see lots of images of his work online, including a living chair. Does this type of sculpting shorten a tree's lifespan, or would it be like the living root bridges in India and get stronger with time? What kind of trees would be best for growing my own living lawn furniture? If you could grow one piece of furniture for yourselves, what kind would each of you choose? Thank you for continuing to make such a fun podcast. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, Guinevere. Guinevere, thank you. Great questions.
Well done.
Casey, if you Google, we'll put some of these photos on the Instagram post for this show. If you Google these sculptures, it's not like he carved something out of a tree.
Yeah, right.
It's not like a sculpture in that sense. It is him taking a tree and manipulating the branches and how they grow to form shapes.
Yeah.
Most notably, a chair that he sits in made of branches.
It's really fun. Like it looks like one of those hangy things that you have like on a porch or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a hanging kind of enclosed cocoon chair.
Yeah, one of those egg basket chairs.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Great. He also has these people that are like they have like a head and arms and legs. And I was thinking as I was looking at it, if you were lost in the woods at night and you came across
it's
these
like a mist.
Yeah.
Mister.
And you get close and you say, have you seen? And then you notice this is like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, exactly.
That he's made of wood.
And you're like, I hate this place.
Terrifying. Yeah. I
yeah,
don't know.
It's a little
Casey,
bit scary.
What do you think? Does this hurt the tree?
You know, it really doesn't hurt the tree that much. The tree is going to be trying to grow straight up. Like that's what they do is just grow straight up and straight out as best they can.
Phototropic.
Exactly. So it's manipulating the tree, but you're not hurting it. You're just making the tree be like, oh, God, I was already up there. Now I have to go over here.
Yeah.
So it's the same as bonsai. Bonsai actually does this a lot. In fact, in a lot of different gardens, people do this to like get a branch to grow in a certain space. Because once the branch is there and lignified and like solid, it will stay there. It's the new growth that will try to grow off in some weird direction towards the sun.
Yeah.
So in this case, all they're doing, this entire artwork, is just bending the branches as they're growing. So it's not even like hurting the tree in that you're like breaking it, then it has to repair itself. You're just bending them down, letting them grow, and then when they get as far as you want to make the back of the chair, you just let them grow upright again. You just like let them do that, and you just move them. So it's really actually I don't mind it at all. I think it's actually super cool. It's very patient, which I appreciate, because you have to wait for the tree to grow and get strong enough to create.
Yeah, I imagine you could only make a few of these sculptures in your lifetime.
Yeah, I'd assume so. You might be able to start doing a bunch on a bunch of different trees.
Now that I say that, he probably doesn't do one at a time.
Yeah, wait 30 years and then tries luck on the next one.
I'm finally done.
Yeah, I will now make grandchildren a table.
Yeah. He has to pass these projects on to his children.
Right. I think that they're much more similar to the bridges in India and other places where they use banyans grow bridges. And it's exactly the same, where the tree or the tree itself will over time get stronger. Like the wood will get thicker and stronger. What is now just like individual bars kind of the seat or of the back of the chair, those will over time grow into each other, and then it'll become like, you know, a flat surface more or less, except it'll be kind of ribbed because there's going to be, you know, bumps between the top of a circle and where they touch.
So, Casey, let's imagine that you wanted to make a piece of furniture out of a tree. What tree would you use, and then what piece of furniture would you create?
Yeah, this is a good question. So, I love the idea. So, I would probably want to do something that's fun, useful, but not too useful, because honestly, it doesn't look that comfortable. Like, I can't imagine that I don't want to put it next to a fire and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I would probably grow a tree, and I would do a strong wooded tree and maybe like some kind of oak, but a medium-sized oak. I would have the bottom, the middle part, grow straight up. Then when the branch comes out to the right, I would let that grow to the right, and then I'd either take another branch that's growing to the left or take the top one and bend it over. Mm-hmm. And I would bend them so they're growing exactly horizontal, and then they come up to, you know, after a certain distance, I'd let them grow back upright.
Okay.
As they grow upright, they would be maybe, let's say, 15 or so feet apart, enough that you could put a hammock in between them.
Yeah, boy.
And then I would grow them back up to the center and then twist them around or like take several branches to create like a roof over the top of the hammock area.
Hell yeah.
And then let that grow up and kind of become a big, you know, jumble of stuff.
A normal crown.
A normal crown. So it looks like I'm sitting in like this almost like designed hammock space with a built-in leafy roof.
You know what you could call that? A bespoke oak.
Oh, God. Every time, Alex.
Or a hammock.
Yeah, I'd call it a hammock. Yeah, call it a hammock.
Casey, great answer.
That's what I do. I would actually grow vines up the side, too. Sorry, just to like cover it up to make it look like I'm just like floating within like these vines.
Very cool.
Anyway, sorry. What would you do?
No, I had the exact same answer. I was going to say, really? I would use a banyan to make a living hammock.
Oh, that would be so cool.
A banyan.
Yeah, a bannock.
And I would,
a hammock and a bannock.
Cause it's kind of viney, right? Like
yeah.
those aerial roots aren't like super, strong.
Yeah. They don't really do a whole lot. They just kind of sit down and then, but once they hit the ground, then they become solid, like tree trunks.
So I would maybe have the roots growing together and sort of around each other to form that hammock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they themselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I would just make it so that I could put a hammock in between it.
Oh, no, I'm turning this tree into
a
hammock.
Yes. Okay, that's way different. That's super cool because then you could design it so that you could like have this little side.
That's right.
Oh, man.
And it probably wouldn't be that hard because the roots aren't that woody.
Yeah, they harden. They will lignify and become like way solid.
Once they do that, I'll put a cushion.
I was going to say, just put some pillows in there. And then now you're like a Persian lord. That's amazing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
My dream come true.
Yeah, my dream come true. Get me my grapes.
Call me Alexander from now on. Thank you, Guinevere, for your question. If you have a question for Casey or I, for some reason, about trees, or a question for trees about Casey. That's an interesting twist.
Oh, yeah. That's
email us at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. That's arbitrarypod@gmail.com. Or join us on Instagram at arbitrarypod. Hey, if you want to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/arbitrarypod. Pick a tier, any tier. You can join the Arboretum. Get 2 bonus episodes a month about trees and other related topics, or the Cone of the Month Club, and get a unique die-cut cone sticker illustrated by an independent artist every month in your mailbox, your physical, actual mailbox.
They're so beautiful, too.
Thus concludes our two-parter on the biggest trees.
Ugh, I'm so happy, and everyone now should be able to tell the difference between a coast redwood and a giant sequoia when you're waltzing through. I'm excited. I feel like this was good. This is a long time coming, Alex.
You almost made a really good rhyme there.
I did?
Because you said, hope you can tell the difference between a coast redwood and a giant sequoia as you're waltzing through, they're going to say, California.
Oh, jeez. I didn't even think about that.
Well,
I'm just a bad rhymer.
Well, we bring different strengths to the table.
I guess that's true.
You're a natural. You didn't even know it.
Yeah, wow.
You're a poet.
Oh, end the show.
Thank you so much for listening to these episodes of Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Au revoir. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.